ahead and turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 17, if you would, please. Proverbs 17. Well, today is the second Sunday in the month of September, and it's considered Grandparents' Day. I thank you for letting me to take the shirt and tie off and put on the t-shirt. The kids have not changed any since I got this a few years ago. So this is all my grandkids are on here. They gave it to me, and so I wore it a couple years ago, and I thought I'd wear it again today. If it offends you for me not having my tie on, somebody got a tie I can borrow? No? Okay. Anyway, hopefully I haven't offended you. We're going to talk, like I said, about grandparents a little bit today. What are some of the grandparent names you liked that you hear a lot? Mimi? Mama? Mama, okay. Anybody else? Okay. Mama, okay. I've shared this with you before. I grew up on the Delmarva Peninsula, and they do a lot of mum-ums and pup-ups. That's what we do a lot up there. So I thought everybody is a mum-um and a pup-up. You know, and then you came down here, and I'm pretty sure I heard some different ones up there, but not enough for it to ring in my ear. But coming down here, I found out there's a lot more names that people use for their grandparents. I always envisioned being called like Pup-Up Stewart or something like that. But just before Haley was born, I kind of like that song, you know, Grandpa Tell Me About the Good Old Days, you know, by the Judds. I kind of like that. So anyway, when she was born, they asked, you know, what are they going to call? He asked, well, I like them to call me Grandpa. And that naturally means Carol's going to be called Granny. I mean, Grandma. So now, for some reason, Sydney has got it in her mind that she wants to call me, what is it, Pappy or something like that. She's been wanting to do that here a few times. And she said something the other day, you don't mind me calling you that, do you? I said, no, just remember that's not who you get your allowance from, or it's not who you get. You know. So she corrected that real quick. But anyway, it doesn't matter. It's long as it's a term of what? Endearment. Everybody had the same type of word on their thoughts. And just a term of endearment or love. Now, Miss Carol Rogers is out in the parking lot. She's part of our parking lot broadcast group. There's about 10 or 12 out there. She's 88 years old today. Is there anybody here that's older? No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say her birthday today. I apologize. I got ahead of myself. I got ahead of myself, Carl. All right. She's 88. She was 88 yesterday, and the day before, she's also 88 today, okay? But she's our oldest grandparent present, as far as I know. Does anybody here older than that? All right, so if you get a chance, most of the time Miss Carol comes, sits in the parking lot, listens to the service, and then she'll wait for me to go out there to be part of the greeting of her. But if you get a chance to cross paths with her, just congratulate her on being the oldest grandparent. Who's the youngest grandparent that might be here today? Anybody want to share that? Anybody want to say, hey, you know? Sheila, whether you want to share it or not, your mom once again has decided what you should do. All right. Sheila's 37. Okay. Right. Anybody want to volunteer? Hey, I'm the youngest grandparent, or do you want to just go with Sheila? All right. We'll go with Sheila. Whatever. And Sheila's 37 plus. Okay. 30. All right. Anybody here younger than 50 then? Because I can do my math real quick. All right. Okay. Well, some of you look younger than 50, right? Okay. And some of you, yes. Okay. Who's the newest grandparent? Became a grandparent for the first time. Anybody? Anybody only got one grandchild? All right. You're the newest. Okay. We'll go with that, okay? Peggy. Good. Anybody had a recent grandchild born in the last few months? You have, Sarita? Okay, good. All right. Now, for those of you that are used to the new math that they got out now, where you have to carry this and move that over, you may take a while with this. We always ask who's got the most grand grandkids, most great-grandkids total. And Carl usually is going to qualify for this. He's got like 37,500, something like that. How many you got total? Do you know grandkids and great-grandkids and that? 17 and 18 is 35. All right, I am not trying to beat him at all. Okay, I'm not going to get ahead of him on that. But 35 is a great number to have in your legacy. Whether it's blended or not, they're part of your family, right? Okay, and you should give them all presents, and you should give them all allowance money and take them all out to eat. Okay? And if you're going to have that many, you deserve to do that. Now, I don't know if anybody's here or not. I don't believe we've ever had one of these, but I'm probably wrong, like usual. Have we had anybody who's a great, great grandparent? Anybody? I don't know if Miss Frances made it to that level or Miss Mildred made it to that level. Does anybody know if they became a great? Anybody here know of anybody in your family that was a great, great grandparent? I know I'm a great grandparent because I'm just wonderful. But other than that, that's supposed to be funny. Yeah. Okay. All right. We don't have any great, great ones then. I just wanted to kind of share some of that stuff today, and I also want to share some thoughts. This was written by an 8-year-old class a few years back now, so some of it's dated. But the question is to the 8-year-olds. Now, so you understand, you guys all know somebody that's probably 8 years old. What would that be, second grade or third grade or first grade? No, it's not first grade. It's going to be second or third grade, 8-year-old. Okay. I think what... Stuart and Madeline are, what, 8 this year? Getting ready to turn 9. I think they're in third grade. So these were 8-year-olds writing. And the question was posed to them, what is a grandparent? And here's what someone said. Grandparents are a lady and a man who have no little children of their own. They like each other's. They like other people's children. Okay. A grandfather is a man grandmother. No. Grandparents don't have to do anything except be there when we come to see them. Isn't that neat? You guys got nothing else to do. They're just waiting for the grandkids to come. They are so old, they shouldn't play hard or run. It is good if they drive us to the store and have lots of quarters for us. Okay? When they take us for walks, they slow down past things like pretty leaves and caterpillars. And some of these things are cute, and some of them are funny, but they're just thoughts of an 8-year-old. They show us and talk to us about the color of the flowers and also why we shouldn't step on the cracks. Okay. They don't say, hurry up. Don't know about that one. I'm hurry up, Chase. Get up here, you know. Or slow down, Chase. Anyway. Usually grandmothers are fat, but not too fat to tie your shoes. Okay? They wear glasses and funny underwear. They can take their teeth and gums out. Okay. Now, I know a lot of grandparents are not that way, but that, a long time ago, a lot of people were that closer to that, I guess. Grandparents don't have to be smart. They just have to answer questions like, why isn't God married, and how come dogs chase cats? You just got to be able to answer those questions. When they read to us, they don't skip. They don't mind if we ask for the same story over again. All right. Has anybody here watched the same movie over and over again? Yeah, I was so glad when Frozen finally wore out. Everybody should try to have grandparents, especially if you don't have a television, because they are only grown-ups who like to spend time with us. So that's the thoughts of some of the eight-year-olds. Some poems I want to share with you. Written about grandparents. The author of this one's unknown. Few can bring the warmth we find in their embrace, and little more is needed to bring love than the smile on their face. They've a supply of precious stories, yet they have time to wipe a tear or give us reasons to make us laugh. They grow more precious through the years. I believe that God sent us grandparents as our legacy from above to share the moments of our life as measures of His love. This one's anonymous. Grandparents are grand. Grandma or grandpa. Nana, Nona, or Nammy. Papa, Papa, or Poppy. Warm welcomes. Happy hugs. Holding hearts. Love, love, love. Kids, crafts, cooking, grandparents lending life's lessons, many momentous moments, amazingly awesome. And one more. From early in the morning until I go to sleep each night, I know my grandparents love me in a very special way. Sometimes it's tea and crackers, sometimes a walk in the park, sometimes it's just a hug when I'm scared and in the dark. I love to hear their stories about the past and where they're from, and I know their hearts are filled for love with never-ending love. For some reason, one of my grandchildren has recently started asking me about everything in the old days. She starts, who was your school teachers, and what sports did you play? For some reason, the others hadn't been that inquisitive, but this one has decided she wants to know what I'm all about, our family and what we've done. So isn't it nice to be able to share the stories and stuff? So that's some things about grandparents. This is not going to be a normal presentation of the Word of God today. I'm going to just look at some passages of Scripture. You're not going to find a huge amount of information about how to be a grandparent in the Bible. Mostly it's addressed to parents and both mom and dad. You know, parents should do this, parents should do this. This is how you should treat your parents. But I just want to share at least four or five passages of Scripture. One here is found in Proverbs. Proverbs 17 and verse 6. They're only going to do the first part of verse 6. In the NIV, it says this, children's children. Now, who's that? That's your grandchildren. Children's children are a crown to the aged. They are a crown to the aged. So as we grow older, what brings the older people a great amount of joy? It's grandchildren. It is grandchildren. We love to hold them and do things with them and just take them places. When I had reached the point, and tell me, think about your first grandchild. Those of you that are grandparents, think about your first grandchild. How precious was that grandchild when you first saw him? How precious? How much did you just love holding him and doing things with him? I did tea parties with Haley. I have not done tea parties with the other two girls. And the boys better not ask. So, anyway. But I did tea parties with her. Did anything, just about anything that Haley wanted. She could pick up the phone and call and say, Grandpa, can I come over? And I would just go get her or bring her over and let her stay. I've been a little bit more restrictive with the others because they're multiplying. Okay? And you only got so much, what, hours in the day, time in the day? You only got so much energy. But it's just so much fun seeing them. When a grandchild, Johnny's here today, Johnny, when Emily, when all the awards that she got at her recent graduation and it was off to college, how proud were you? I mean, you had to be just busting at the heart. You know, all of us, when somebody does that, it just makes you happy. I can remember when Haley, for example, hit a volleyball and scored the winning point for her team. I stood up real quick and said, that's my granddaughter. Now, when she messed up one time, I said, well, she got some of her grandmother in her too. So, but you're kind of proud. You kind of, almost like you've done the thing yourself. They just bring us joy. All of you who are grandparents probably got something on the refrigerator that says something about one of your grandchildren and points out, Grandma, I love you. Grandpa, I love you. Just all those type of thoughts. And no matter how terrible it looks as far as a drawing, where are you going to put it? Right there, because it's what? And I got things that I won't throw away. And I know when they go through my stuff, when the time comes, like anybody else who passes, they're going to say, why in the world did he say that? Well, it's a representative of love. They are a crown to us when we get older. We love our kids, but for some reason, grandkids have a very special place. Now, I also want you to turn, while we're right here in Proverbs, go to chapter 13, verse 22. Not only are they crowned to our aged, but we're also supposed to take care of seeing the grandchildren in a special way as well. Now, if you've got 35 of them, this may be more of a challenge for you, okay? Right. A good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. Now, most of us like to leave something to our children, especially that's sort of where Americans are more headed that way. But in the Middle East area, you wanted to make sure you looked after your grandchildren as well. Now, you have a tendency to look at this and think this is financial, right? And it probably has some degree of finances. We should kind of pass on if we have. Some of us will die poor. I know we don't have two pennies to rub together, as Mom used to say. So we want to make sure that we leave something for them if we can. And hopefully they don't get to that point where they upset you, where you have to cut them out of the will. You know, that way they don't have to live with that legacy about Grandma loved you more than loved me, that type of stuff. But we're supposed to see to them. Now, I see this as more than just when you're leaving an inheritance with your kids. That's also some stuff of blessings that you have in your life. You may have some memorabilia that you had done, maybe if you were in the military, or something that you got, awards you got at your job, or something that you did at school, and you decide to make sure that that's passed on to them as well. But we want to be passing on to them the inheritance that we should be doing. And it's told here in Proverbs that we should do this. Turn to the book of Exodus, please. Exodus chapter 10, verse 2. It says here, I'm going to lead in with verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go to Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the hearts of the officials, so that I may perform these miraculous signs of mine among them, that you may tell your children and grandchildren how I dealt harshly with the Egyptians and how I performed my signs among them, that you may know that I am the Lord." He wants them to be passed on to their children. Moses says, he's telling this group, here, you got to make sure the next generation behind you also knows, and the generation behind them knows what I have done for you, that how I have delivered you. We need to be people who are ambassadors of God's deliverance. Now, how many of you, you don't have to raise your hands, but you just nod your head if you want. How many of you are saved? Okay? You know that you're going to go to heaven. You're confident in your salvation. You know you're going to go there. Do you want your grandchildren, when the time comes, to go as well? All right. So what do you got to be doing? You got to be telling them how important it is and how wonderful it is. Now, one of the best ways for them to get to know it is not just hear it from your words or from your lips, but to do what? See it in your actions. Now, we all have valleys, don't we? We all have rough periods we go through. I've had cycles, even in the ministry. You know, you would think minister maybe doesn't have his down periods, but there's times when you sort of put it on autopilot and just show up, not doing what you should be doing. It's nice if your kids can say, "My dad was serious about Christianity." And then these kids turn around and tell their children, "Your grandfather was serious about this Christianity stuff. He was really on fire for Jesus. He loved God." It'd be nice if they can tell that, wouldn't it? So we're supposed to be here. The Israelites are told, when you get into your promised land, make sure you're passing on to them, your grandchildren, what you saw, what you've heard, and how about the deliverance of God. Some people have bigger stories than others. Some people who've overcome some sort of drug addiction or some sort of sexual addiction or some sort of whatever it may be. They went to jail for a bunch of years and then had a conversion experience and got themselves all squared away. Some people have bigger stories than others. But the important thing is that your story gets told and that your children hear about your deliverance from Satan's clutches. Hears about your freedom that you have in Jesus Christ. Now, while we're here in the Old Testament, let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, chapter 4, verse 9. And it says there, "Only be careful and watch yourselves closely, so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen, or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to your grandchildren, or to your children after them, which will be your grandchildren." Now, what is the difference between what I just had you look at in Exodus and what in Deuteronomy? I'll tell you, the difference is slight. There's not much difference. The first one I emphasized, God has delivered you. He's delivered you from sin. He's delivered you from hell. He's delivered you. Tell them about that so that they can know that you can also go to heaven. But also tell them about God's care all along. His instructions, his life-giving information that he's given you through his Word of God. God's Word tells me how to be a spouse, does it not? Did anybody here grow up in a non-Christian home? Nobody? Okay, so I'm the only one here that grew up with two people that did not claim Christ as their Lord and Savior. Did they go to Sunday school some? Yes. But they just never said that and never emphasized it very much in the house other than attend church. Grace at the meal was speed dial. See how fast you could say it. You know, as soon as you get the grace over, we can eat. And Dad was always asked to say it because he could do it the fastest. So, I did not grow up being instructed on how to conduct myself as a Christian. I was taught how to be a good moral person. Do you understand the difference? Being a good moral person gets me where when the time comes? Nowhere. Other than maybe at peace with my fellow man. But it does not get me into heaven. What I need is who? Jesus Christ. And then after I have been introduced to Jesus, it's not one of these things, hey, I got baptized, that's it. I'm sitting back on Sunday, kicking back and watching me some football. And maybe having some picnics or maybe going here or there. But I'm not doing this church stuff anymore. I'm not having part of that. That's not what it's about, is it? When you make the decision to become a follower of Christ, He says you need to obey all that He teaches us. So as grandparents, our job is to make sure that the children and the grandchildren are hearing about Jesus Christ. How do you handle relationships as husband and wife? What is your frame of reference? When you think about being a husband and wife and you're trying to handle a situation, what do? I tell you what I did not too long after getting married. My frame of reference is, how did Dad treat Mom in this same situation? I didn't say, how did God want me to act? What did I say? How did Dad treat Mom? On one particular occasion, my father yelled pretty hard at my mom and told her all kinds of things. And they got into a big argument. And Dad jumped out of the house and said, I'm out of here. And he jumped out in the car, squealed the wheels, throwing stones everywhere. Well, I can't squeal wheels on stones, but you know what I'm saying. But anyway, the stones are flying everywhere, dust up in the air, and he takes off. So that's what I saw. Carol and I have a dispute. We've been married a short time. Married people normally don't have disputes, right? I see some being careful whether you nod or don't nod. Okay, Mom and I had an argument with Carol, and I did. What did Dad do? So what should I do? So I jumped out in my car, spun the stones I'm going to have to rake up later, go down the road, and as I'm going down the road, I'm thinking, you know, I never rode along with Dad, so I don't know what I'm supposed to do next. So I went back. Before I got back home, I remembered the minister's sermon from a few Sundays back when he taught on Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, about husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. So I get the Word of God. The more I hear the Word of God, the more I try to come in tune with Him. Am I perfect at this? I am far from perfect. But I'm better, like Lee Sawyer used to pray. I'm glad I'm not what I used to be. I know what I'm not what I ought to be, but I'm glad I'm not what I used to be. Please help me to become what you want me to be. Something along that line. Some of you remember that prayer that you used to offer. So we're working at it. We're trying to become more of what God wants. So tell people how God is providing for you, caring for you, helping you to get through life, helping you to overcome things. If I want to cuss, I could cuss if I really want to. But I don't want to anymore. Anybody here done with cussing besides me? Yeah. Do the words pop in my brain once in a while? Yes, they do. I mean, when I talk about how terrible some things can be, some of the military terminology comes back in my mind. I mean, some of you military people, you know what I'm talking about. And those of you who work around military people, you know what I'm talking about. Some of these words pop back in your mind, and it'll pop back in my mind in a minute. I try to erase it from the mind, but I definitely wanted to keep it from coming out of my mouth. Because I've said this before. If I cuss like a blue streak here for a few minutes, before I've left here, the cell phones have already let the whole world know on Facebook and everything else, right? It's just going to happen. But I don't want to do it anymore. Why don't I want to do it anymore? I got family and friends that do it. Why don't I want to do it? Well, the Bible warns me about using language that's wrong and improper, that is vulgar, that's profane. All that, you don't use language unless it's going to build up, not tear down. God's Word. So what have I tried to pass on to my children? And what am I trying to pass on to my grandkids? Use language that builds up, that's proper. Don't say that. Say those words. Don't even say those words that are replacement words. You know, they're not officially cuss words, but they're close enough that everybody knows what you're saying. Try to avoid that. Tell of God's care. So far we've looked at the crown to the aged. We need to make sure we see to them after, not only after while we're here, but after we're gone. We need to tell of God's deliverance. We need to tell of God's care. The last one I want you to look at is 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Book of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. We believe this is the final book that Paul wrote before he died. He died right around 65 to 68 A.D. during Nero's persecution. Paul was put to death. 1 Timothy is written with the idea that we believe, hey, I'm in jail right now, I'm in prison, but I'm going to get out of this and go do some things. 2 Timothy is written more like a last will and testament. Everything's over. I know I'm not going to get out. Somehow God has revealed it to him that this is going to be the final thing. So he's writing it to Timothy a few years after the first one. He's writing this to say, hey, it looks like this is it. But as part of this, he tries to encourage Timothy. And he says here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Well, let's start with verse 3. I thank God whom I serve as my forefathers did with a clear conscience as night and day. I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. You see the affection that Paul has for Timothy? Timothy's a younger man in the faith. He's a man that Paul has helped bring into the ministry. And he's out there preaching and teaching and everything. And you see the affection he has for him. And then verse 5. I have been reminded of your sincere faith. Isn't that great? Wouldn't it be nice if all of us reminded somebody that we have a sincere faith? Well, he says, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois, and in your mother Eunice. And I am persuaded that now lives in you also. We need to be grandparents that display the type of faith that other people can say, no wonder he's got faith. Just look at the family line. This person loved God. This person loved God. Now this person loves God. We need to be the type of people that pass on that type of faith. We need grandparents that will show this. Now, these things here that I've covered, they just don't happen because you decide today, all right, I'm going to start being a better person. It just doesn't happen just because you decide to be a better person. When does it happen? I compare it to weight loss. I decided back in January, come this time of the year, I was going to be below 200. Now, I decided that. I made that decision that day. I currently stand before you slightly over 200, much more over than I want to be. Matter of fact, it embarrassed me the other day when my brother and I got talking about weight, and for the first time in my life, I found out I weigh more than my brother does. That bothered me. All right. But anyway, so I'll make a decision soon. We're going to lose weight again. We're going to get it down again. How does it really happen, though? Oh, no, no. It can't be effort. It's got to be easier now. Takes discipline? Now, come on. You got to come on. I should be able to just maybe take a diet book, lay it under my pillow, sleep on it, and by osmosis, all that stuff should just kind of soak right in one ear. And because nothing goes, once it gets there, it's locked in. You know, just maybe put an earplug over the other side, hold it in. I should be able to do that, right? Now, we all know what you got to do. If you want to get your A1 in line, if you want to get your blood pressure in line, if you want to do this, you got to do the right, eat the right foods, and you got to go out there and exercise some. So you got to do that. Exercise is not doing one set up in bed to get out. That's it. Okay. So faith. How do I deepen my faith? How do I get stronger in my faith? How do I really, really lock in on faith? Now you're holding up the Bible there. You know what it is. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So, the more time you spend in the Word. Now, this is where the preacher naturally goes down the list. How many of you are serious about studying God's Word? Are you really serious? Well, how come there's not more in Sunday school? How come there's not more in Bible study? How come there's not more in church attendance? Because, you know, that's the only Bible some people get, right? So, are you really serious? You're about as serious sometimes as I am about, okay, we're getting rid of all chocolate in my life. Okay, tomorrow I'm getting rid of all chocolate in my life. No, 2 days from now. Yeah, that's how serious some of us are about studying God's Word. And don't say that's not the way it is. You can check your track record. You know what your track record is. I'm not trying to attack you any more than I'm trying to say to me, wake up and smell the roses, Rome. You got to deepen your study. You just can't present material for sermons. You just can't bring material for a Wednesday lesson. You just can't do it then. You've got to get it inside of yourself. And that will help you to face any and all situations. Persecution comes, read about what happened to those all that were persecuted in the Bible. Struggle in a marriage, read about what the Bible says about marriage. Struggling with your kids, read what the Bible says about dealing with your children. Struggling with your neighbor, read about what the Bible says. Deepen, and deepen your faith. All right, grandparents. We got a lot of different names. We got a lot of grandchildren, some of us more than others. We're supposed to do certain things. Well, realize, first of all, the Bible says that your grandchildren are a crown to us in our later years. They're a crown to us. The Bible tells us that we also have a responsibility to see somewhat to passing on things, especially maybe finances or whatever, to our grandchildren. We're also supposed to tell them about how God has delivered us, how God cares about us, and we're also then supposed to display our faith. Now, every year when I was in school, report card day was not a highlight in my life. Do you understand what I'm saying? It was not a highlight in my life. Even, I'm embarrassed to say this, but I guess the statute of limitations have gone by, but I can remember the old handwritten report card, and there it was, a D. Now, D's passing, right? But I also knew D was not going to fly. Now, fortunately, it was just 9 weeks. So you just twist this a little bit and then put a little tail on that D a little bit, and what does it look like? Hey. So, you know, I didn't get caught. I don't know why I didn't get caught, but that was supposed to relieve some of the pain of that day that might be inflicted. Now, fortunately, I've dealt with the guilt for a long, long time. I need to go back and tell that teacher. Of course, the Lord's probably called her home. But anyway, some of my grades were not the great. I got an F one time in eighth grade, English. I think it was the second 9 weeks. And, you know, man, there's that red thing on your report card. So I can't get out of this one. You know what saved me on that? My brother brought home an F in seventh grade English, same teacher. I can almost hear Dad's words now. There's no way my two boys got Fs, especially Bob. Yeah, I knew I had earned it, but there's no way Bob is National Honor Society and all that stuff. So I knew there's no way he earned it. That's why I was always glad I was the oldest. I could set a standard low enough that the others could achieve with no problem. Okay. So, this is a report card. Where do you stand? All right, maybe you're getting an F in Bible reading. Maybe you're getting an F in prayer. Maybe you're getting an F in church attendance. But guess what you got? Another 9 weeks. So go for it. Yesterday's gone. You can't do a thing about it. Tomorrow may not come, but you do have today to serve the Lord. Grandparents, let's do the best job we can. And for those of you who got grandparents, please honor them, love them, and let them know that they are cherished. Now, in order to truly help our Lord make disciples, you need to become a disciple. I've tried to tell you the way I see the scriptures unfolding, and I freely admit to you, I could bring ministers in here from other denominations. I could bring them in here from different groups, and they would probably teach you a little different than I'm going to say it right now. And that will be debated until the Lord returns. All I can tell you is what I understand the scriptures to say, and that is you need to believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of your sins and submit, being baptized into Christ, for the remission of your sins, the gift of the Holy Spirit. We will immerse you in water. You'll be buried with Jesus. You'll be raised with Jesus.
The old person of sin will have died. The new person in Christ will be raised. Make that decision if you need to. But don't come and stop there. Make sure you're committed to making Him Lord of your life and following Him the rest of the days of your life. Make that decision. If you're already an immersed believer, many of us are, and sin has weighed us down and grabbed a hold of us again, then repent of it. God, I am sorry. I'm a Christian. I'm not supposed to be doing that. I'm sorry. Repent of it. And tell Him and ask Him for forgiveness. If you need our prayer support, come. We'll pray with you about the matter. If you're an immersed believer, but you haven't joined the fellowship here, say, hey, I come as one who believes in Jesus, and as a believer, I was immersed into Jesus. As a believer, I am now ready to say, this is the church where I want to serve. I want to be a part of this fellowship. Just consider that. Place your fellowship. That way the elders here know who they are to shepherd without any question. And for the rest of us, in light of what God has revealed to us through the Word, let's make disciples. Let's make disciples for the Master.